Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast Easter Edition. That's right, we're here on an Easter Sunday recording because we love you and we hate ourselves. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry here.
And this is the Leftovers Podcast on WGR550.com. Thanks for listening always on on-demand audio. And today, Frank, just like with Brayton on Wednesday, we are not alone today.
We're not.
Makes me nervous.
We have WBN's morning producer, Joe Beamer.
And baseball aficionado.
That's right.
Diehard Mets fan.
Oh, my gosh. Off to a great start.
I'm sorry.
We're recording this on a Sunday. I hope they know that.
Oh, yeah. Every podcast is dated.
2-0 on Sunday, going into the games today. Steven Matz on the mound. Should be a great Easter Sunday game.
That's the only winning record you'll get all year.
What?
Are my levels okay?
Yeah. I would have expected him to say, am I allowed to swear?
Well, yeah, I guess so. That too. But yeah, no. No, yeah, enjoy that winning record while you've got it.
Cespedes said this is
interacted with Howard enough to know how this goes.
Cespedes said this team's better than the team he had in 2015. So,
all right, well,
take that for what it is.
I won't take your word for it. I won't take his word for it. What I will take word of, though, is, you know, I will take your word for it. You know what? Whatever. Because we're talking baseball today. Talking some of this baseball for you because, well, season's gotten started. Opening day was on Thursday. Excitement in the air. And you know what? Without further ado, I will say, Joe, take it away.
All right.
What do you think is going to happen here this season as it gets started?
Well,
who are your favorites?
My favorites going into the season, I laugh at this. I talked about it on Ryan's show on Friday. Everyone has, as I brought in with me my Athlon, everyone has Washington in the World Series.
Now, again.
Hey, yeah. I'll eat my hat.
It's like a yearly thing.
Yeah, the Nationals, we all know they fizzle out in the playoffs. This Nationals team is not getting to the World Series. They will win the NL East. I cannot be biased and say the Mets are going to win the NL East. Washington will win the NL East. They're not going
Hot takes. We like them here.
They're not going to the World Series, though. if you want what we're looking at, let's look at, I like to call it the five local teams of Buffalo, right? There's five local teams. You have the Jays, the Pirates, the Indians, and the two New York teams.
Yep.
I guess you have some Red Sox fans out there as well.
Yeah, they're just because they're everywhere.
My roommate's a Red Sox fan.
It's just because they're everywhere. Red Sox fans are everywhere.
Well, I'm always by myself when it comes to that.
Where are you?
Because I'm a Rockies fan.
Oh, hey.
Look at this weirdo.
You can hang by him, right? Go on. So here's.
I affiliate with the Jays.
Here's the not hot takes. Stuff we can all agree on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Pirates in the NL are going to be pretty bad.
Yes.
Sorry to the Pirates fans out there. Sorry, Brian Mazeroski, big Pirates fan. They're just not this year.
When you deal Andrew McCutchen, it's over.
Pretty much.
And Garrett Cole.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the bullpen, the rotation, the bullpen, oof. So,
rebuild, we'll see in a couple years.
Yeah. This year. Right now, if you want to see what the Pirates are going to be in a few years, watch some Altoona curve game, and then that'll be your Pirates in about 3 or 4 years. Now, to Cleveland will win the AL Central, but that's not saying much. Because let's look at the teams in the AL Central, right?
Yep.
The Tigers.
Yeah. Okay. Tigers are...
Yeah,
right.
The Tigers are in.
The White Sox.
They're going to be bad, but I think they're still an up-and-coming team. Just not...
They are.
It's not going to be this year. It might be 2 years from now.
I call the White Sox the team Chicago forgot about. and that's coming from a Mets fan, so, you know. The Royals, I mean, they're really still in their post-World Series.
Yeah, they're going down.
Clean house. The Twins will be better this year. The Twins are interesting. Yeah, they'll be a fun team to watch, I think, all season long. But no mystery there. The Indians will win the AL Central.
Yeah.
But with Cleveland has played over the last 2 years in its own right, are they a threat in the AL playoffs?
That's a good question. It depends how they're going to play.
That's what I do here sometimes.
They're not the World Series team, in my opinion. If you're asking for my prediction, they're not the World Series team.
Okay. But are they a threat is the question.
It really depends what Indians team shows up. Is it going to be the Indians team who implodes later down the rotation in a series? Or is it going to be the Indians team whose offense helps them when their starting pitching gives up 5 or 6 runs?
All right.
Lots of questions.
So if you're an Indians fan, you look at the deadline hoping that you can land a... nice guy in the rotation.
Maybe a nice guy or a nice Miller reliever whose name's not Andrew Miller. I don't know. Hey, the Indians have been known the last few years to make some trade deadline moves. Remember last year bringing in Jay Bruce, who did help them offensively going into the postseason.
And then they had that epic win streak last year, too. So
exactly. The Indians seem a fun team to watch. I mean, just like the Twins, a fun team to watch. Hey, Jay Bruce back on the Mets now. Hopefully he doesn't go cold if there's a postseason run by New York. And then the AL West, no question. The Astros winning the AL West. We're not setting anything up here. I got the Astros winning the World Series again.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just here to talk some baseball here, so you don't need to set anything up. There's no drama needed.
All right,
Just break it down how you want to break it down.
Yeah.
So you're our guest today. You go ahead and throw
the Astros. I have winning the World Series. I think they'll defeat Cleveland in the ALDS, not the Yankees. The Yankees, a stacked team, obviously. We're going to have to hear 27 rings, 28 rings. I'm sorry. I'm surprised I haven't heard it in the last 10 minutes. But the Yankees stacked up. They're obviously going to win the AL East. Okay. It'll be close with them in Boston. Boston will get that wild card because who else is the threat in the AL East, right? You have three teams that are pretty much two out of three every time they play them. Okay. So the Yankees winning the AL East. But once they get into the playoffs, I'll tell you what would be a great, great ALDS series will be the Yankees and the Angels.
If the Angels,
because I think the Angels will go to the wild card game. If the Angels can get out of that, that would be a great 5-game series.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, hey.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, lots to see once it comes down the line. But during the regular season, obviously the fun teams to watch. The Yankees with all that offensive power.
Yep.
I mean, as much as it pains me, right, as a non-Yankee fan. Doesn't it seem that way? If you're a non-Yankee fan, it pains you to say stuff like that?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just like them. And Boston fans are almost as guilty with this stuff. It's very loud what you hear from their fan bases.
Yeah. Boston fans have become Yankee fans.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Right? For years in the 90s, it was always, Boston's the little guy, right?
Boston's the unlucky guy.
The evil empire.
Right.
Yeah. But Boston, and now Boston's pretty much doing the same thing.
Spends just as much money.
It was always Boston was developing their players and bringing them up from the minors, whereas the Yankees were developing players and then trading them for star players and then signing other star players in free agency. Now Boston's the one who's making the trades and signings as
well. That's because it's an arms race.
Exactly.
They have the money to throw down. They're going to do it. That's why I don't feel bad for them anymore if they ever lose to New York or anyone else.
Well, when they lose, because I think they will. I think they will lose to the Indians. You have such great pitching at the beginning of that rotation. When it comes to Cleveland, they'll be able to shut most of this offensive power down.
Be able to match the top of Boston's rotation.
Yeah, when you have a guy like Corey Kluber giving you the first start of a series, I mean,
it's big.
That's huge. A tone setter.
To be able to come back to him too is also
exactly. Game four, go back to him in a 7-game series. I'm telling you, that pitching, it's the pitching in Cleveland I like. The bullpen, always questions when you're talking anything in the AL, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's my AL. You guys have any questions when it comes to the AL?
I think you threw down pretty well there, Joe. I'm you know what? What's
I
the
think
word
the
here?
Only thing I will
Okay, Frank's will got say something. About he's the, not he's not you know
about
content
the AL.
With
this. I still think the Red Sox win the division.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey. I'm not going to fight you on that.
I'm cool. A lot of people are talking the Yankees will win the division. They're going to run away with it with the offense they have.
I don't think they're going to run away. I think they'll win it.
Yeah. And I think the Red Sox will just do enough to overtake the Yankees. I don't know how. I know Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, it's going to be powerhouse. I don't think it's going to be as good as what people are saying. Stanton, you could easily say will hit 50 home runs this year. I don't think Aaron Judge is going to. I think that's what it'll come down to.
We're
going to
get a
Yankees
lot of angry
offense.
Comments if people listen to this.
We've seen this before, though. We've seen teams try to get stack up offensively.
Yeah.
Miami Marlins. And halfway through the year, when it didn't work. I mean, it flat out did not work. Having nothing but offensive guns on there. What do? They traded half the team to Toronto. Now, the Yankees will not do that. The Yankees are not former Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria. But you could see where this is a month-long lull for the Yankees. That would be – I don't see that happening. But you're right. It's very possible. We've seen it before when teams do nothing but just stack up the offensive power on a team. Great point.
I think Aaron Judge is going to regress a bit this year. He hit, what, 52 home runs in his rookie year? I don't see him hitting probably 40 this year as a result.
Well, you're a guy that it's a distance hitter. He's either hitting it out of the park or he's striking out.
Exactly.
He's David Ortiz.
Yeah. So you're probably going to see more Boomer strikeouts bust out of him this year.
So that's the AL. Interesting race, but the AL East is obviously going to be against those two with those two teams.
Yeah.
And if Frank's right and Boston does win it, I mean, the Yankees are going to get the wild card.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both those teams will be in the postseason.
Absolutely.
It's just a question of which of them ends up where in the postseason. Where do they start?
Who plays in the game and who's in the play-in game?
Yeah. I think the play-in game is going to be the Red Sox Angels. I mean, I think the Angels are in the play-in game.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's who's that second team?
Yeah.
The Yankees or the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Now to the National League. My favorite, obviously, as a Mets fan.
You tell them
Frank's favorite
voice.
Yeah. Rockies fan right here.
Yeah. So let's start with the NL West, right? The NL West, what a fun.
Very interesting.
What a fun division.
Yeah.
Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Giants,
and then Padres. The Padres.
They probably know that's what's up, and they're just like, we're gonna just sneak over to the back over here and just.
They're gonna go into the back and just stay in last place.
Yeah, they're just gonna hang out. They know like, what's hey, coming. They know what's
beautiful
coming.
Park, by the way, though. Right?
Oh yeah,
Petco
oh,
Field, absolutely. Beautiful. Has to be on every baseball fan's bucket list.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to the NL
and
West.
And you can watch your team win because you're probably not a Padres fan.
That was the old Chargers motto, right? It's the home game for the other team. The NL West, it's going to be close. I think with four teams, I think you've got the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks are coming on strong.
Yep.
And they brought the bullpen cart back in Arizona.
They did.
That should be really That's fun really to watch. Cool. Mm-hmm. You have the Rockies and the Giants. The Giants.
Made some moves in the offseason.
Made some moves, exactly. They have Madison Bumgarner. Oh, wait a minute. They were supposed to have Madison Bumgarner back, but he's out for the first few weeks.
Well,
6 to 8 weeks with a fracture, taking a line drive in the last week of spring training.
That sucks.
It's unlucky. Yeah. After losing him last year to the ATV accident. So, not the best of luck for Bumgarner. But the Giants will compete. Right now, offensively, they need to get those bats going. Through their first three games, they only have two runs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time since the 40s when they were in New York that that's happened. So they got to get those bats hot. But, hey, we're three games for them into the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean,
it's a small sample size when you're talking about 162
games. With how well the Giants have played over the past several years, you can't really count them out anyway.
Right. And it's an even year. Now, they didn't do it in 2016, but the Giants are.
They did make the playoffs, though.
Right. The Giants are known for being really good. Or going to the World Series in even years minus 2016.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. In the NL West, yes, I have to go with everyone's pick of the Dodgers winning it.
Yeah.
And that wild card, I think personally that both wild cards could go to the NL West.
Just like last year. Yeah, the Diamondbacks seem like a sure thing for the one wild card spot. The other one could come down to the Rockies or the Giants.
I think it will.
Or even then you got to think from the Central too, the Brewers
or the Cardinals.
The Cardinals too, yeah.
Cardinals, by the way, have not won yet this season thanks to the New York Mets.
Good work so far.
So, the NL West is where the action's going to be come September.
Yeah.
Where if you're just a casual baseball fan looking for a game to watch, those are the games you're going to want to watch. Those September games.
So stay up.
Diamondbacks, Rockies, Diamondbacks, Giants, Dodgers, Giants. Those are games you're in September you're going to be looking for because those could mean division or both wild card spots.
Yeah.
So that should be a lot of fun to watch. Moving over to the Central, not as much fun going on in the Central, right? The Cubs are going to run away with that division.
Yeah.
Frank's right. The Brewers are a hot team, right? They've made some improvements. They're going to be competitive. I'm not going to say they're fun, because I've said that a little too often about the first four divisions we've talked about. But they'll be a competitive team to watch throughout the season.
If you think baseball's fun, it's probably fun.
The Cardinals are the Cardinals, okay? They'll be there, but they won't, if that makes any sense.
They'll be in the mix until
probably
like the last couple weeks.
When Carpenter comes back, obviously they'll have someone to anchor that rotation. Because right now you have Waka,
and that's it.
Yeah.
He is right.
It is the NL Central. The Cardinals will be there, but they won't. That is my breakdown of the Central.
The slow
Pittsburgh and Cincy.
Pittsburgh and Cincy
right in the bottom.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
Have you watched the Reds the first two games? It's not been interesting. It's not been entertaining. So That's the NL Central. Comment all you want on it. And then the NL East, of course, where unfortunately,
baseball's version of the Washington Capitals exists.
Yeah, so the Nationals will.
And the Washington Nationals.
The Nationals will win the NL East.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know I said that I think both wild cards are going to go to the NL West. I do think the Mets are going to be in the contention for that.
They will.
For a wild card spot.
They will.
Right through the end. The Mets brought back Jay Bruce, okay? Cespedes is healthy. If he plays more than 81 games, that's going to be huge for the Mets this year.
Off to a promising start.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. With Cespedes with a home run. Yeah. Travis d'Arnaud, if he can stay healthy, him and Pilecki going back-to-back at catcher is going to be great. Both those guys can stay fresh. Both those guys have bats. Look at the first two games. D'Arnaud with a home run. Pilecki, 2 of 3 with 2 RBIs. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. So the Mets.
It's your excitement for the Mets.
Yeah. So the Mets' offense is there, okay? Obviously, pitching, if it stays healthy, not a problem. Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Mats, Vargas when he comes back.
Yep.
Right now, Seth Lugo, the only Mets pitcher to throw more than 20% breaking stuff last season. So it should be really fun for the Mets, really interesting, competitive. They won't win the NL East because I can't be biased, but I think they'll be in the talk for that wild card.
There you go.
I think so, too. I can see the Mets winning at least probably, what, like 85 games this year and being in that contention until probably like the very last week of the season.
Yep.
However, a team that it's definitely not going to make the playoffs this year, but I think is really interesting to watch, Phillies.
Hey, the
I
Phillies,
was thinking you were going with the Braves in that direction.
Well, a lot of people are talking about the Braves.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of chatter about Atlanta.
Mike Schoep was last week saying Braves are going to win more than 75 games this year. I can see the Braves winning more than 75 games. However, I can see the Phillies being ahead of the Braves in the standings and being closer to a 500 team.
It pains me because the Phillies are my least favorite team in the MLB. I mean, people always think that Mets fans hate the Yankees. Why? 4 or 6 games a year, depending on the season? No. Phillies, especially someone like me, who when I was in college, back-to-back years, the Mets dropped a double-digit September division lead to the Phillies. So
whose fault is that?
Hatred for the Phillies. That's all I have to say. but no, the Phillies, they have pitching. They got a big bat in the offseason. Obviously stuff to watch for at Citizens Bank Park. And when you're talking Citizens Bank Park, you're talking a home run hotbed.
Yeah.
So the Phillies getting some bats hot this season could change everything.
Because the guy I'm looking at for the Phillies right now this year is Rhys Hoskins. He is going to have a great rookie year.
Well, let's talk about Santana. Right?
Yep.
I mean, that was a huge signing in the offseason.
It was a huge signing. Because I talked Rhys Hoskins because the last 2 years, you know, when I would work in Bison's games and they would play Lehigh Valley, you know, it's always Rhys Hoskins.
Yep.
He was always dominating
the Iron Pigs.
The Iron Pigs.
One of my favorite venues to watch on TV a minor league game.
Yeah, just like how a couple of years ago, you know, I started working those Bison's games with Ben Wagner, who is now up in the big club with Toronto.
Yes, congratulations, Ben. That's huge.
Yes. I kept hearing all this stuff about Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, and well,
now
that
they're
sort
doing
of thing
it
came to fruition
Yankees.
Pretty quickly there.
And it's always been Rhys Hoskins as well, and now he's going to do it with.
So
the
there's, I mean,
what
there's
he
your,
did, yeah, I mean, what Hoskins did last year when he got called up, 18 home runs, and I think like the last couple months of the year,
we might need to have Pat on here as the new voice of the Bisons. He might be he might be seeing a thing or two about minor leaguers that are going to get hot next year when we do this again. So.
And by the way, Bison's home opener, April 12th. I am really looking forward to that. Should be
get
a fun
that.
Day.
I mean, that should be a fun one there. I mean, if you're a casual baseball fan like myself, I'm debating going to that game because it's fun to watch some opening baseball.
And
there.
I forgot to mention, I have to, when we're talking about the Phillies, Jake Arrieta, huge signing in the offseason for the Phillies. Great anchor for that rotation. Yep. So like I said, the Phillies could surprise a lot of people this year. I don't think they will, but they could surprise with the signings they made. I think they need a few more pieces. Like Frank said, they have some hot rookies up there.
Hell, get a couple of games hot on a stretch. Changes the direction of the whole season.
It does.
The Nationals cold.
Yeah.
So
that's in the playoffs.
Yes, exactly.
That's true.
But when it comes to the World Series,
I think you got to close it out with.
I think it's going to be the Astros over the Cubs, 6 games.
All right. There you go. Joe okay. Beamer's got
I hope
Astros
that's what you guys wanted.
Yeah.
Six games.
All I right. hope this is the preview you guys wanted. It's straight into the point. Nothing over exaggerated when it comes to baseball.
Hey, let's see. You broke it down division by division. You gave me your pick as to who the World Series winner is going to be. I guess if I had any more questions, it would be if you've got a favorite for any of the awards at the end of the season.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a great question. That's a good question. I'll have to come back to you on that one. Because I don't this early in the season. I don't
You know what? We'll catch up on this middle of the year.
All right. Because like Athlon, I love getting Athlon at the beginning of the year for baseball. But there's already problems in it when you look. Like
picking Washington to go to the World Series.
Or the... On yes. the Pirates page,
and I know Andrew McCutcheon's still on the Pirates.
Yeah, I showed Frank this. Their key to success this year is Andrew McCutcheon.
Interesting. He's not there.
Exactly. Maybe when they play the Giants is what they mean.
Yeah.
And by the way, totally hey, I really, I, as a
it's
fan,
the long con.
As a fan of Curtis Granderson, it was a lot of fun to watch him in New York with the Mets. It did break my heart to see the first fly ball his way get dropped in the home opener. But I do wish Curtis Granderson all the best because he was so fun to watch in a Mets uniform. And that's how I'm going to end it.
He's really fun
to watch.
All
right, there we go.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Joe Beamer of WBEN. And he's hanging out with David Bellavia, 6 to 7 on our sister station at WBEN.
Yes. 6 to 7 Thursdays and Fridays.
There it is.
And you can hear me 5 to 12 breaking in with stuff, you know.
Yep.
Not of much substance, but I'd like to add my 2 cents from 5
Sunday
to 12.
And on Sunday mornings with Randy Bushover, he chimes in with his Virginia Tech takes.
Exactly. Hey, and don't...
Oh, you know what? While I got you here, if the Bills do end up keeping pick 22, Tremaine Edwards, linebacker, what's your thoughts?
Tremaine Edwards?
Yeah. Linebacker out of VT.
Tremaine Edmonds.
Edmonds. Oh, God. I said that wrong. Tremaine Edmonds.
Tremaine Edmonds. If he's sitting there at 22 and the Bills don't take him, riot time.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. And I think that he's a guy that I would have my eye on. He's my second-rated linebacker, Roquan Smith. Dude, how do you not love Roquan Smith? If you're a VT fan, I get it. But he's my number two right behind Roquan Smith. Well, and Roquan Smith is going in the top 15.
If Tremaine Edmonds is there, it'd be great. His brother, member of the New Orleans Saints, also a former Hokie. So if he's sitting there at 22, I would love it. Hey, if the Bills are looking for a late-round steal, Greg Stroman, get him in the sixth round.
There you go. You got your Virginia Tech takes. One more thing. Don't get out of here just yet, Joe. You can follow the man on Twitter. He is a riot. He is Joe Beamer. He is at
Beam_machine. Now, there were some spelling questions. BEAM _machine, MACHINE.
And it'll be on the description as well.
Exactly.
So follow him on Twitter. He's a good guy. He's a Mets fan, unfortunately for him. He's Joe Beamer.
Hey, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks again to Joe Beamer as he takes off here from the Leftovers podcast on WGR550.com. I'm Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And we're hanging out with you on recording on an Easter Sunday. So this is going to be up there. And if you're desperate for something to listen to that isn't, just the usual stuff, well, we've got it on
here
the website.
Is.
So here we are. So thanks for hanging out with us as always.
Very interesting baseball
no,
takes.
No, I liked everything.
But I really did like them. That
you know,
Joe
it was
brought.
It was to the point.
Yep.
Division by division. Everything like that. He got us a World Series winner to start it. We'll check back with him. Probably bring in Pat Malacaro as well. See if we can get some takes from him.
Absolutely.
And in a mid-season form.
Yeah,
definitely. Maybe even again when wild card races start to shape up.
Yeah, when all the races start, yep.
Yeah, so there you go.
In September.
We talk baseball here too on the Leftovers podcast.
You know?
That's why it's the Leftovers podcast.
That's true.
No, there's not enough of it.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're welcome. So,
unfortunately, I don't think my Rockies are going to make the playoffs this year.
Believe, Frank. Hasn't the city of Buffalo taught you anything? You're supposed to falsely believe and hope until your dreams are crushed.
I'm crushing my dreams now, Derek. Okay?
Frank.
So that they don't get crushed in September.
Frank.
So that I can be crushed by the Sabres.
Frank. You just mentioned the Sabres.
I did.
Look. It's just what happens, okay? You're a sports fan.
I know.
You're saying this now that you're going to protect yourself.
I'm just...
I'm calling fooey.
Okay, here's my thing. Here's my thing with the Rockies.
Calling shenanigans.
I do like what they have. I love Charlie Blackman. He was...
Yeah, he good.
He very good. Nolan Arendo, too, is so good. He's an RBI machine. And he's averaged 40 home runs and 130 RBIs the last 3 years.
And I'm seeing a big posterior because I'm sensing the big butt coming in.
With how strong the NL West has gotten in the offseason.
That's true. It's a tough one.
I don't think that the Rockies have enough to jump ahead of teams like the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on an even year, the Giants are probably going to be good. The Rockies need more pitching. I like what they have in pitching right now. However, I don't think it'll be enough.
Here's your good news. They are up and coming.
They're up and coming, though.
They also had the experience of last year dealing with the haunches of the race.
Yeah.
So it's not like these guys don't know what they're getting into.
That's why I'd say they need more pitching, because pitching is what let them down last year.
Yeah.
Pitching is what lost them the wild card game.
Yeah, but they know how to get into these situations. They know how to fight it out now. So, yeah. You know what?
There's a little bit of change as well, because they got a new rookie on the team, Ryan McMahon, who is a very good first baseman, and I'm really excited to see what he did. He beat out Ian Desmond for the first base spot. Desmond now with a $22 million contract is a reserve player for the Rockies. So,
hey, maybe deal him for some extra arms.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right,
we'll see.
Well,
like I said, unless the Rockies make a big move, I don't see it just being enough.
Truly the definition of leftovers. Rockies talk in Buffalo.
Hey.
Once again, you're welcome.
Hey, when you're a Rockies fan.
When you're a Rockies fan, you got to talk about your Rockies. Why not?
Yep.
All right. So, we're here on Easter.
Yep.
And I've got a hot take.
What's that?
It may have people ashamed of me. Some may disown me. I like Peeps. Don't judge me. And I think that they should be in every Easter basket.
I mean, so do a lot of people.
I can tell that you're judging me, though.
Well, that's because I don't care for Peeps. But at the same time...
But Peeps are not garbage, people!
They're not garbage.
They're candy, too. They're sugar with more sugar.
Yeah.
What is more candy than sugar with processed sugar that is in the form of a marshmallow? Also, they're really fun to put in microwaves.
That is true. That's the only thing I like about Peeps. I just remember.
But now they've got all these different flavors. It's like, I don't know how I feel about that.
The only
watermelon Peeps were one of the first ones that I tried, like the off flavor, and I wasn't sure about it. I don't need flavoring with my sugar in my sugar, okay? I think that it's just, you know what? Just have it. If you want the sugar rush as a kid, shove a Peep down your mouth.
The only thing I like about Peeps is that you could put them in a microwave. And I learned about that watching South Park, that Easter episode.
Oh, of course. But
it was fantastic.
I mean, come on. You haven't lived unless you've put a Peep in the oven, in the microwave oven.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
You haven't lived until that's happened.
Yeah.
And you get a bonus if it actually blows up.
A bonus. Yeah.
It is a fun little bonus because now you get to go microwave shopping. No, but seriously, you know, I just had to put that Easter take out there, and I know that there are going to be some people, Dell, that are going to hate me for saying that. And I hope Dell doesn't listen to this. I mean, I hope he does. I hope everyone does. Anyone that does, I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to put that out there on Twitter today and get my hate then. So,
I mean,
bring it.
I have a hot take too. And
okay, let's go.
It's evolving Easter, and that's, I don't care for Easter. I don't care for the
You're here recording a podcast with me. Of course you don't care.
Yeah. I'm also Catholic.
All right. Let's not go there, Arcuri.
That's why I'm saying, okay.
So there's your backstory as to why Frank doesn't care about Easter and that it should be a bad thing, apparently. No, you're allowed to be an individual, Frank. You're allowed to like Easter, not like Easter, hate it, don't hate it, use Peeps to blow up a microwave. Or throw those stupid Cadbury eggs at someone. Cadbury eggs are garbage.
I mean, I could go further with me being a Catholic and what I don't like.
Okay, but let's not.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure that if you step some boundaries, we're not going to have a podcast.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
I said something that I already know would be, you know, Two weeks ago or last week that I told the line a lot? That was
a couple weeks ago.
It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, that's right. I was saying some things and I was questioning myself constantly there. I don't think we need to do that here today.
No,
okay,
let's
Frank?
Not do that. Let's not do that.
No, it's not a good idea.
No.
All right. So we didn't cover this enough last time. And it's timely because the next mock draft is coming out.
Yeah.
The Bills, what do? When it comes to a quarterback. And Sal had a lot of discussion on this on Sports Talk Saturday. The first 10 callers, he had a simple question. Who do you want? If you could pick a quarterback, anyone right now, you had your pick of the gamut. Who do you want?
Yeah.
The first 10 callers, 10 out of 10, said Baker Mayfield. Buffalo is all in on Baker Mayfield now. I mean, there are obviously going to be people that dissent because, well, I mean, that's what opinions are supposed to be. You're supposed to have dissenting opinions.
Yes.
But right now, it looks like it's in the minority. And Baker Mayfield is an interesting option. And if Denver doesn't take him at pick 5, the Bills might be prone to moving up to get him. Because there's a lot of reports about Miami liking him, so you definitely need to be able to vault the Dolphins, who are sitting right in front of you. And again, all this goes back to what we've been saying. They're going to react. They're going to see who's falling, and if it matches their board, they're going to get the guy.
Yeah. No matter what reports come out, that's still what
I'm thinking.
I
suspect if Josh Allen falls, the Bills are going to let him slide.
Oh, absolutely.
Because again, everything that he said, that just screamed smokescreen.
Yeah.
And the Jets reacted in a way that made it seem like it kind of confirmed what we were thinking. Obviously, we don't know.
It still seems like a panic move.
But if we're allowed to have our opinion, and well, that's what this podcast is all about, I think that the Jets love Josh Allen and the Bills made them spook.
Yeah.
And panic and give up some picks to move up.
Yeah.
All for a guy that Buffalo doesn't even want.
Yeah.
I think that they're manipulating the draft board just like they did last year. They knew that they could get Tre'Davious White down at 27, and they had him high on their board.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? They traded down when they saw the opportunity.
Yep. A team wanting a quarterback. Wanting.
Worried that Buffalo might have taken the quarterback.
Yep.
And, oh yeah, Cleveland's sitting there 2 picks later. They didn't take a quarterback.
They traded.
They traded for a team that still took a quarterback at that pick.
Yep.
So they weren't wrong to do it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's one of those instances where Buffalo might try to be manipulating at another draft board and getting the guy that they want to slide. Because we just heard it, though, on Friday that the Bills have had 4 visits with Baker Mayfield. 4. We're not hearing a lot about Buffalo with Josh Rosen so often right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not hearing Buffalo a lot with Lamar Jackson right now.
We're not really hearing anything with Lamar Jackson.
And part of that might have to do with the fact that he doesn't have an agent.
Oh, I definitely
think so. If you don't
have
an agent to prop up what is going on, well, it's going to come naturally that you're not going to hear about him.
Yeah.
There are teams saying that they're having trouble getting in contact with him. I don't know how much I buy into it. Because that might just be... Bulldog theorized this. That might just be the machine.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Just trying to pump out a thing so that, you know, it's another way to bash Jackson. Or not necessarily bash Jackson, but like bash the fact that he doesn't have an agent.
Okay. I see where you're going at. Yeah.
It was a pretty good point that I had overheard him say. And I'm in on it. I think so. There's not too much weight that I'm going to go ahead and pull on that story from Lamar Jackson there's teams having trouble getting in contact with Lamar Jackson. No, I don't know if I believe it. I think that he's doing fine. And I think there are some teams that are, just trying to be sour about it. I'm a little perplexed by the Houston Texans working him out, though. Seeing as how they don't draft in day one or even day two.
They only have, they traded both their first and second round pick.
I think they traded their third as well.
I'm going to check that.
Because there was the trade for the pick last year in the first round. And I think they traded second and third rounders to get rid of Brock Osweiler.
I thought it was just a second.
I thought it was 2 picks.
I'm going to check.
Yeah,
I'm going to look it up real quick.
No, Houston doesn't have picks.
No, I know they don't.
To even be in Lamar Jackson range. So the fact that they got a workout with him is a little perplexing. Yeah. So if the Texans are doing it, I'm going to guess that teams actually aren't having a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say so.
A team that has no shot in getting him successfully worked him out.
Yeah.
So, again, what can I do there? Closing things out does not help you find things, Frank.
Yeah, I know. The website's being really slow.
Well, just the website?
Yeah, it's the site.
Oh, well, then why didn't you just go to firstpick.com and have all pick the Texans as your team and then...
You know, I forgot what my login is for it. I'm just going to use my phone real quick.
There you go. Anyway, the Texans don't have a shot at getting him. Whatever the picks even are for them.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm suspecting that this is just another... bashing a man who doesn't have an agent.
That's weird. I think so.
I'm down with that.
I think that's the case, yeah.
So, look, we need to do this, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have an episode where we don't talk about just the quarterbacks.
Fair enough.
A month left, and there's a lot of players to take.
Houston has their third-round pick.
They do have a third-round pick. Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, they got rid of – so a second-rounder for getting rid of Brock Osweiler. Nice job.
They have two third-round picks, actually. One of them is compensatory.
Oh, okay. There you go. So yep. All the way at the end of the third round.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why are they working out Lamar Jackson?
I don't know.
Stay off our
mans.
They're
going to trade up.
Apparently. Stay off our mans.
No.
Get out of here. You're not even a threat.
No, they're not.
So if they're not even a threat and they manage to get a workout, then what is that really saying?
Yeah.
It could be saying something very damning, but we'll find out.
Yeah. I know exactly where you're going at.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if your mother is the representation and she's picking and choosing, and this is accusing someone of this, so I'm going to make sure I'm going to take that back real quick. This is what is being alleged, you know, by some people that, you know, she's kind of like picking and choosing what teams get to talk to Jackson, blah, blah, blah. I'm not buying it. And it could be a potentially damning thing if that stuff were to end up being true. I don't think it is.
No.
So, well, I mean, there's only so long that an Easter podcast can go. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, just like Joe Beamer was with his baseball takes.
Yep.
And you know what?
Before we go, you see the Victor Antipin hit.
Yeah. I forgot we were supposed to bring that up. Scott Hartnell, you suck as always. No, and look, part of this is possibly why Phil Housley was keeping Victor Antipin out of the lineup, but what part of that hit is actually his fault?
None of that was his fault.
None of it at all.
All Hartnell.
It's all Hartnell because he went high on him and pushed his face into the glass.
You can bump him.
Yeah, he took his weight and put it into the upper half
and it
of Antipin and
his torso. Right into his numbers. And the Sabres on Twitter said, this is like about an hour ago, Victor Antipin diagnosed with a concussion.
So he's probably done for the year.
Following the hit. Also suffered facial lacerations, broken nose, and dental injuries. Yeah, his season's over.
Yeah, so he got his face cut up by his visor from going face first into the boards. Hartnell got 5 in a game. So that's going to get him a suspension.
That should. But now it's a question of how long of a suspension.
I don't see Hartnell as an oft offender.
I think he has a history, though.
But how much of it is recent?
Because I don't know.
Here's the big thing with Scott Hartnell in any recent history. He hasn't played many minutes.
It's true.
Many games over the last couple of years.
That's true.
He's kind of been a guy now in Columbus and now Nashville. I've got this sinking feeling that it's not going to be much, but it's going to be something.
I was thinking 3 to 5.
Yeah, I'm thinking 3 to 5.
However, this is the NHL we're talking about, so I could easily see it also being 1 or 2.
That is true. Chris Pronger is running it now.
Yeah,
that's like a Chris Pronger special right there. So of course it's not going to matter. I mean, it was a hit on a defenseman, so maybe he's got a soft spot there. What am I theorizing? Shut up, Derek. No, yeah, this is, I could see anywhere from 1 game to 5 games.
Yeah.
And
no matter what, no matter how many games it is, Sabres fans are going to be pissed off about it.
I think it's also because it was Antipin, a guy that has promise but hasn't been in the lineup regularly. And at the end of the season, you would like to see that guy. No, it's not even that,
because a lot of Sabres fans really hate Scott Hartnell's guts. Because him with Philly, Sabres fans hate Philly.
Pittsburgh should hate Scott Hartnell more than Sabres fans.
And they probably do. But, I mean, I was also seeing things on Twitter. I mean, Mike Arrington was saying it too, that it should be 15 to 20 games. I'm like, it's not going to be that.
Yeah,
I can totally see why you want that, but...
Be real about this. I mean, what it should be and what it's going to be are going to be very far different things. Should it be a game? Should it be a hit that gets you double digits? Absolutely. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You could throw your weight at him. You could even hit him in the numbers. Just don't put your full force into it.
Mm-hmm.
Smush your whole body onto him if you want to at a lesser velocity. And, you know, you probably get away with not getting penalized and your team actually winning the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dude cost the team a clinch of the Central Division yesterday.
He did.
So nice job there. Yeah, no, the Scott Hartnell hit, I could see anywhere from 1 to 5 games. I'd be shocked if it gets more, and I'd be very shocked if it gets less.
Yeah, watch he doesn't get suspended.
If he doesn't get suspended, then the NHL really is a farce.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me, though.
Such a great game that would be that continues to get ruined by a garbage league.
Yeah.
Yeah, once I heard those words, I think it was Steve Dangle that had said that. Such a beautiful game can be ruined by such a garbage league.
Yeah.
And that happens on the regular.
Yep.
And their conduct, yeah, look. I don't know who's ever, like, the people that have been in charge of this over the years. I think Shanahan was the best one, but even he tapered off. He started strong.
He did.
Real strong.
Yeah.
But then the Shanahan ban kind of softened up.
Mm-hmm. I guess he might have been told to.
Yeah. But by who?
The league, I would suspect.
Yeah. But again, who knows?
I don't know. I mean, they were trying to be.
Their disciplinary actions are a joke at best, and
trying to be too hard, especially with the slashing penalties this year, and with the refs.
That, though.
But then they were told to soften up.
At least they softened up on the stupid face-off violations.
Yeah, even though
that sucked at the beginning of the season. What happened with Casey Mittelstadt was a college kid not knowing the rules.
Yeah, I know.
He's not used to that sort of crap.
Yeah.
No,
earlier. Oh,
and I get
God.
That. That's fine. But early in the season, the first 3, 4, 5 games, people are getting tossed. Eichel
left
got the first.
And right.
I think the first penalty of the Sabres season was one of those stupid face-off violations.
I think so.
And I think it was on Jack.
I'm going to look that up.
I think Eichel got kicked out second. No, he got kicked out first, I think.
I'm going to look that up.
I think it was a face-off violation.
I'm going to look that up.
You can find what exactly. Oh, yeah, just go to the Montreal game from the opening of the season.
That's what I'm
going to
do. That's what I'm doing.
And I have a suspicion that their first penalty of the season was a freaking face-off violation. If I'm right, that's terrible.
It's bad.
Because it should be slashing. Here we go. The verdict.
Let's see here. I'm trying.
It has to be a slashing or face-off violation. It has to be.
It was the face-off violation.
Yes! I knew it! You're such trash, NHL!
Ow. But it was not by Jack. However, it was Jack's line. It was Kane who took the penalty.
That's right, because Eichel probably got
tossed
first. Eichel got
kicked out, yes.
And then Kane went to take it and...
yeah.
Yep. So he was a half of the guilty party there.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Thank you, NHL, for once again Like, the fact is, we hadn't seen that face-off violation in months.
Yeah, it's rare now.
And now, then you saw Rodriguez get tossed out of the circle.
Yep.
And then Mittelstadt, and Mittelstadt was perplexed.
Yeah.
And it was just a reminder of, like, oh, yeah, I forgot that stupid rule exists. Thanks, league. Getting back to the fact that Victor Antipin got his face caved in by some glass because Scott Hartnell's a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Hartnell's always been that kind of guy, though. Like, he was almost an anti-hero for some throughout his years in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
He would go after guys that annoyed the heck out of you, like a Brad Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
Or when Sidney Crosby was in the peak of his complaining days. He would bother Sidney Crosby.
He did.
But at the same time, he would be able to throw down.
Yeah.
But now he's kind of backed off of that and been more of a pest than anything else. Now that he doesn't produce goals, he's kind of just a guy.
Yeah. And well, he's also up there in age.
Yeah. But it's also, yeah, once you can't produce, you know, yeah, you try to
you
do other
do something.
Things.
You gotta do something.
And I guess one of those things he was thinking was a good idea was putting a defenseman into the board's face first.
Yeah.
The worst part about it all, and the most spineless thing, is that there was only one person that saw it happen live, and that was the referee. All the Sabres were advancing the puck.
Yeah, no one saw it.
Antipin makes this play.
He pushes the puck along the
boards. He pushes the puck along the side.
So everyone's watching
there.
That.
You and see Justin Falk coming onto the ice, but he starts to turn around, like have his back to it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't see it either. I think the only one that could have possibly seen it was Kyle Poso, but he's probably looking at the puck.
Yeah.
And
it's a good thing the ref saw it.
Yeah, and the ref made the right call. I mean, if he would have let that go.
Oh, my God. It'd be worse.
Yeah. It'd be a lot worse. Well, I guess in the end, obviously, hopefully Victor Antipin's okay.
He did get released, though.
He did get released from the hospital.
Yeah, and he's expected to travel with the team from Nashville today.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
But I would suspect that his season is over.
Yeah, get through the concussion. I mean, hockey players do play with cages sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, with the
cage
concussion.
And painkillers, let's go, baby.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, honestly, I would shut his season down because I mean,
his season's definitely over
because he doesn't even play regularly anyway.
Yeah, and there's only like three or four games left in anyway. And remember, he is concussed too, so he would have to get cleared.
Yeah.
So I don't see it.
I mean, it could be a minor concussion where you get cleared within 3 days.
It could,
but.
It's still a concussion.
But at the same time, for a guy that, you know, even if he is cleared that quickly, for a guy that has not been often put into the lineup, frustratingly to fans, I would suspect he doesn't see the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Broken nose probably
doesn't
help
either. Yeah.
But again, I could, like.
And after that.
But the first thing
that's...
I could think of with a hockey player is.
Me.
You know, it. Would you wear a cage and painkillers, Frank?
Well, I'm also a goalie, so I have to. I have to wear a cage.
Okay, fine. You get your face caved into glass. Say you're not a goalie, okay?
Okay.
Say that you're not crazy for a second. And, you know, honestly, me, I might have taken my time. I'm not going to lie to you. Who am I kidding?
I would, come on. I would try to get back out there and play as soon as possible.
Who am I kidding?
Yeah, come on.
It's just what an athlete does, and to some athletes' credits, they know that and they can check themselves.
Yeah,
but most athletes, their thing is always going to be, I'm gonna get back out there in the ice, you know, cage and some painkillers.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
obviously, hope that Victor Antipin's okay.
Yeah,
this season's a bust. I'm not going to be able to
more
get that bobblehead.
Nice things. Yeah, I know. I want to.
I'm mad.
I'm mad too.
Thank you, TJ.
Yeah.
For thing making me have to work this game. I want that bobblehead. I don't even care about the game. If someone's going to that game and they don't want the bobblehead, give it to me.
Same.
You're not dead out of the water yet, though. I have to work the Sabres game. I can't call off of it.
I know you do.
I'm the backup.
I know.
You can call off work.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to work the Sabres game.
If I have to if I don't work, nobody hears it.
I have to work in my other job, which I could, but it depends on what's going on that week.
Now, how ridiculously good is the bobblehead is the question for you.
It's true.
Well, thank you all for listening. It was a blast coming in on an Easter Sunday to record and have fun with this. This is the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Brian Garcuri.
We're hanging out with you every Wednesday, every Sunday.
Yes, we're going to start doing this every Sunday now,
every too. Sunday now. Every Wednesday, love every
it.
Sunday.
Love it.
And, well, on the docket next, we're going to try to talk a little more NFL draft on a broad spectrum this time. We're going to talk about more than just the quarterbacks on Wednesday. We're going to have ourselves a nice little chat about what else the Bills need and the best players to look at from those regards. Yes. Who are we going to get to help us talk about it? No idea. You should stay tuned and find that out. So thank you again. Have a happy Easter. Have a happy belated Easter if you're listening after Easter Sunday. And
happy Dingus Day.
Happy Dingus Day. That's right. Here's your hot take. I'm Polish. I don't care about Dingus Day.
Whoa.
Yeah, that gets blowback.
Whoa.
Yeah. Bring it.
Should have talked about that during the show.
Yeah, go ahead. Whack me with whatever those stupid pussy roll things are. Bring it. Get a pair of scissors. Cut them all off. There you go.
All right.
There's your hot take to end it. Happy Dingus Day, but I don't care. Peace.